Lord, we just come to you this morning and we thank you so very much. And you're such a wonderful and awesome God, Lord, and you're a mighty and a powerful God. And we know that you have a plan for all of us and for everyone, Father. And we just thank you so much when we get to see the fruits of some of our labors and when we get to see just how amazing and awesome that you are. And Lord, thank you so much for just answering that prayer and for reaching out to that boy and just, you know, all the people, not just him, Lord, but so many times you just keep doing that around us. And we are so grateful, Lord. It amazes us and excites us every single time. And we just thank you for that. We lift this morning up to you and this class up to you today, Lord. And we just pray that you would be here with us, that your Holy Spirit would guide us as we share back and forth conversations. And we just ask that you would just stay close to us, Lord, and draw us closer to you. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Morning. You alone today?
Oh,
that's right. You guys are in that stage where you kind of see each other coming and going and passing and running. And
yeah.
I remember that very well. Well, we've been talking about the servant leadership, and we talked about it in like family, and I think family sometimes is some of the hardest, right, to show that consistently. And then we started last week talking a little bit about in the workplace. And I know you guys shared some stuff about your new workplace, Ryan, and people, we were kind of talking back and forth about some things. And I just kind of wanted to pick up there where we left off. I think that some of the things I wrote down here, you know, they're just, I just put down things are important to just be consistent with so that people see that and just see a positive example. You know, I don't ever try to just go in and take control of a situation and like push people around or anything. I always just try to just be me and just do what I can and lead by example and be the best Christian I can be, because that's the only thing that's going to really matter. But I wrote down a few things. I put being at work when you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I think that is huge. And I think people see that. I think they notice more people that aren't.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're not where you're supposed to be, your car's in some kind of a hardship on somebody else usually, you know? And I know certainly at the schools it's like that. It's like if you're not where you're supposed to be, somebody else has got to be there and somebody else has got to fill in. And everyone notices if you're a person that's there. And I put down also doing more than what's expected. And I don't think that seems to be like the norm these days. I think that work ethics have drastically changed. And I think that, right? I think that a lot of people that's growing up in this younger generation now is just, they're just not learning work ethics, and they're not learning that you benefit by working hard. And, you know, it's really hard to teach that once someone's an adult and they're trying to enter the work world. I mean, usually it's a lot harder to teach that. If you can teach that to kids as they're growing up, that's fantastic. But once people enter the work world, you know, it's a lot harder to do.
You never know if somebody else notices too. It's really funny, and I got a note from somebody within the last year thanking me for my example when I was working, and I was like, "Where did this come from?" I just went and did my job. I was really surprised at the note and what she had to say. And I'm sure a lot of people would not see that, but that one person did. And for some reason was compelled to thank me. So you never know who's watching.
You don't know
what they're seeing.
And you don't know how it's going to affect people either sometimes, you know. Now, there's a lady at our school that's just like, oh, my goodness. I mean, she's just amazing. And she's constantly on the go, constantly on the move. She never slows down. I don't know how her head keeps from spinning off because she's doing so many things at once. It's just crazy. And I tell her all the time, I'm like, Becky, I love you, but you drive me nuts. Because she's brilliant and scatterbrained at the same time. Because she's always doing so much.
The scatterbrain just comes from, there's so many things, yes, in the fire.
That's exactly what it is.
Potentially be where people aren't picking up their slack, but she's like, it's got to be done, it's got to be done.
And that's a lot of it is. And
a lot of
she's
it.
Just constantly trying to come up with a way to get more out of people, but she does it in like a very loving way.
Yeah.
And
you know, the interesting thing is, though, when you're recognized for that, it makes you think, now, when did I not work as hard as I should have?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
What more can I do? Yeah.
I've always kind of been like, you know what, I just want to do my best, mm-hmm. and I want to do my best because, you know, Colossians 3:22, I take that to heart. Colossians 3:22 says, 22 through 25, it says, it actually says slaves. But I mean, the advice is still, it still applies. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men.
When I got my job, when I moved to 8th grade history, I got put into a classroom, and the teacher before me had taped that verse, it's only this big, to the outside of a desk drawer that only the teacher can see, that the whole classroom can't see it, but it's taped there right by the handle. And I just left it there. I know, that's what I thought too.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
what I mean?
Very cool.
But, and I didn't even know this woman was a Christian. I didn't really know her that well, in all fairness.
Right.
But yeah, so she retired years ago, but yeah, she had that.
It also, it makes a difference. You can tell the people that love what they're doing.
Yeah.
And the people that are doing it just for a job.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So it's important that people search out their talents and, you know, what direction they want to do their work in.
I think clear back when I was working for Bill Mitchell, I don't know if you guys know who Bill Mitchell is, but no.
He's a good man.
I did apartment maintenance because I used to do construction and stuff, and we had a little business, me and a buddy, and then, you know, we decided that I was done with that and really needed to just have the time. Like, I was missing my kids and stuff way too much. And so he gave me a job, and I just said, you know, I want a regular job for a while, and I was doing apartment maintenance, but I remember going in there, and it was way back when I was like on fire for the Lord. I mean, on fire. I hate to say when I was, because I'd still like to be that much, but I'm telling you, I was that guy burning the candle at both ends and in the middle when I just couldn't do enough, right? And I was on fire for the Lord then, and I remember I latched onto that verse. And when he hired me, I said, you know, I want you to know that I'm like the youth leader at our church right now. And I said, I want you to know that when I'm working for God. I'm not just working for you. Mm-hmm. And I wanted him to know that up front, you know, and he really appreciated that. And we ended up having a very good relationship. And when I left, he didn't want me to leave. But I've told every person that I've been employed by since then that's who I am, and that's what I want to do. And I tell people that at work, too. You know, they're like, oh, so-and-so. I'm like, you know what? Yes, this person's my boss, but I don't work for them. Mm-hmm. I don't work to impress them. Mm-hmm. I work because this is what I'm supposed to do. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think doing what's right just because it's right, mm-hmm. and working to the best of your ability, because I can go home at the end of every single day and know that I gave it my best shot. And there's a peace in that, you know?
Yeah. I worked in a factory, and sometimes you're shunned.
Yep.
You have to expect that.
Yes, ma'am. Doing construction work and being a Christian usually doesn't go together very well, right? Usually. It can. But
still, if you stand strong, they will know you're a Christian regardless. Mm-hmm. They might not want to be around you while they're telling your dirty jokes.
Well, and I've had...
That's kind of a lot of ones you want to cry.
Well, no.
Yeah,
you know, but if you work in a factory, you're kind of in a break area.
You can't help it.
Well, when you have people that say things like, you need to slow down because you're making us look bad.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I'm not trying to make you look bad. You know, I'm just doing what I'm doing. If you look bad, maybe you need to do a self-check. Yeah. You know, I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to impress.
People get very nasty, too. Very nasty when you're not. I just remember when I got my history job, I taught English for 6 years, and then I moved into the history department, and that was what it was always meant to be in the first place. And you just, when you latch on to something that you're passionate about, like I'm passionate about teaching, so I was when I taught language arts,
right.
But history is just a whole game for me. People act funny, you know, when you're doing this and you're doing that, and then you're trying, and you're not telling anybody, you're just doing it in your classroom and enjoying what you're doing with your kids, and the kids are talking about it, or parents are talking about it, or other people notice. People get very nasty and funny about that, too. But, and it, because you get shunned in various ways, you know, so whether they don't include you in conversations or invite you to things, I think sometimes, too, as far as the Christian walk, find a way to learn to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell my kids that all the time. This walk won't be easy. You're 13.
We're supposed to be
a lot of years ago. Yes, yes, exactly. I just had a whole conversation with a girl a week ago about that. Just what sanctification is. And you're being set apart for a purpose and a greater purpose, a purpose that he's always had for you, that he had for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But just not everybody chooses to accept that sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
And you're choosing to accept it. It won't be easy. But, you know, that's why you find this.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Why you find others.
That's what we need.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it only just boggles my mind that more people aren't pouring themselves into groups or fellowship or, you know, that, you know, praying with one another.
I almost get upset over
it. I know you too. And I have to back myself down and remember that, like, not everybody's in the same position.
Right.
Everybody comes to my
room. You've been judgmental.
But you worry.
But you don't understand why they don't have that hunger.
Well, I worry about, like, when I see people that, you know, maybe used to be more in groups and things, and then they kind
of,
like, back off, and I'm like, I know, you know, it's like that coal in the fire, you know. As long as you're in there and everybody's in there together, it stays nice and hot, but you take it out and separate it, and it cools down, and that's really what it seems like, you know. I've seen that happen with people, and it worries me.
To the King James Version, but it says, forsake not your assembling yourself together and something like that.
Yeah.
I had a girlfriend I had just fallen off in reading, and I was just telling her about it, and she didn't mince any words. She's like, I don't know what you're doing, but knock it off. Get back in your Bible, open it up, and read it. What are you doing, girl? Stop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. That's what you need, you know, but I know she loves me more than anything.
That's why she said
that. Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. And it was just kind of like, and when you know someone loves you, you're like, all right, you're right.
Yeah.
But you build those things.
But that's cool that she had, that she would
that
come up to you and say that.
No, and the girl that I was talking to, the girl that I work with, that, you know.
But you can do that with a friend.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, my mother would say that too. But that's a good mom.
Your mom doesn't miss work.
No,
anybody else.
Yeah.
Ever.
No.
I think another thing that's really important that sometimes is lacking is honesty. Like, honesty at all times, you know, in the workplace. I see people that think it's okay to you know, just kind of cheat a little here and there, or take a little extra time here or there, or take something that someone won't, you know, won't really notice is gone, or, you know, just stuff like that.
Take stuff home.
Take stuff home, yeah.
Like, well, all too long. Some of the stuff they took home, I wondered what they would ever do with it.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
I didn't know I had herbs in
there. Yes.
But there's people sometimes that have the idea that, you know what, I don't get enough, they don't pay me enough, you know,
yeah,
they owe me this or whatever, and they'll just take a little extra, whatever they can.
They don't need this box of paper clips. They got 500.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah,
just little dumb stuff like that. But, you know, that's, honesty's huge to the Lord.
And you know, I ran into a situation this past week where my manager actually suggested to me that I shortcut my job to raise my productivity numbers.
Oh, that happened.
And I just sat there. And I guess I was blown away because I'm like, no. And she's like, well, if it hurts too hard or it's going to take too long, you should skip it.
And
if I skip it and I'm not doing them, then that's me telling everybody else I have to pick up my slack that I can't do my job.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
I'm not
sitting out there, and I just sat there.
But this is your supervisor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your supervisor is her motive because it makes her look better if you're producing more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just want to tell you, and I don't mean this to be mean, I don't really care to make her look good. I need to do my job.
Mm-hmm. That's not mean.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly.
I don't even mean it to be disrespectful to her. But it's just I have a job to do, and if I come across this hard, this kind of extensive, and it takes me a few minutes, I still got to finish it. If I just pass it on to somebody else, that's going to make me look stupid and not going that route.
And that's exactly the kind of stuff I'm talking about. That's the kind, you know, there's blatant dishonesty, and, you know, everybody sees that, but, you know, that kind of stuff.
I felt like I was being led, and that feels dishonest to me, to just scoot something off to the side because, you know, I don't like doing that.
Well, it's just,
and I'm being advised to be like, I'm like,
yeah.
But that speaks to your integrity.
Yeah.
Because
it just ended me mad too.
Yeah, well,
I don't know what to do with that. Like, I literally don't know what to do with that. I mean, I know I'm going to continue to do what I do. But it's just like, how do you continue to keep up a certain amount of respect for that person when you know that that's the kind of mindset they have for things?
The respect sometimes. I mean, to me, I know that we're supposed to be respectful to people, but I think respect is something that's also earned.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that there's a basic respect that we're supposed to show and have for people just out of kindness and respect. But I think there's a level of respect that goes beyond that that you have to earn. And if you don't earn it, you're not going to get it. And and you can do things like that, you know, make those kind of suggestions and stuff. And if you lost respect for her, you lost respect for her, you know? And I don't think it's your place to have to somehow muster up more respect. I think you need to generally respect, like I said. But, you know, I had she's a young teacher. She's only been there a couple of years. She's only been teaching for a couple of years. But she's been teaching with us a couple of years, and she kind of stepped up in a little bit of a leadership, and in just running our weekly meetings that we have with just a small group of, you know, the high school teachers. And she got really upset a week ago and, like, just escalated and then started, like, cussing and F-bombed a couple of times, and, I mean, was just really... And, you know, to me, I'm going, what in the world is going on with this girl? Because I've never seen that from her, you know, and I lost a tremendous amount of respect for her. And she knows it. I didn't tell her that, but she knows it. And she said, well, now everybody thinks I'm just a whiny blah, 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 and
they were like, you know, people were trying to calm her down, going, well, no, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, calm down, calm down. And they're like, we don't think you're a terrible person, just something's going on. And, you know, and she specifically said, well, Mr. Redman's probably thinking that of me. And I said, no, I just think you should have let go of this way before you got this upset and angry about it. I'm like, you're, you know, it's a, I think it was a matter of control or something. And, but, you know, you don't do that kind of stuff. You know, there's a level of professionalism that you have to maintain. And you know.
I think the beauty of getting older, though, the beauty of getting older, and then I'm sure you can use it, is that you learn that all of that, right? That all of that, it, what does it amount to? What does it really produce in your life and in the people around you? And that has been, since I was little, I have a mind and I'm outspoken and I say things and I have feelings and thoughts and opinions about things. But the older that you get, the, I don't know, you just feel like it's kind of like,
you start
not like I don't matter, I don't mean it like that, but I don't necessarily have to share that with everybody. I don't necessarily have to get so unrighteous and this is wrong and I'm just like, I don't know, maybe it's not even age, maybe it's fate.
No, I think that's
But it's just age. Don't feel the need to, like I did maybe when I was in high school or in, you know, college or the beginning parts of my job. It's just,
and I was having a discussion with my dad about the whole situation. I said, you know, I said about 20 years ago, I said I probably would have just told her to, I thought I walked out. I just left. I'm like, but that doesn't do anything for me now. Like, I'm so glad I'm not.
You learned to pick your battles and what you have to fight for.
Yeah. You know, like I know better than to just get all upset and throw a fit or whatever. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
10 years ago, I wouldn't have it all today. And so you look at this girl and you think, oh,
well,
not in a mean way or like I'm better than you or I'm smarter than you, but just like you're just like, oh, when you get that, when you start to walk into that, you're just so much off of your shoulder.
What I really started thinking was, what's going on with her right now?
Yeah.
Like, is she having problems with her relationship, with her husband? Is there something going on, you know, outside of workplace that's got her on edge? Is there, you know, other stuff going on? And I honestly thought, because I've walked, her mom is our nurse, and I've known her since she was like probably 10 years old. And I've never seen that out of her. So I really kind of thought she would come to me and just kind of say, you know, I've kind of lost my cool, and give me an opportunity to just kind of, you know, to soul share. But yeah, she hasn't. And so I'm in the thing right now where I'm trying to decide whether to get her or whether just show it grace and let it go. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I'm still working on that. I'm still asking him what to do on that. I think a big negative thing that happens, though, and big influence negatively, is when people start gossiping and people start talking about other people in the workplace. That is such a negative influence, and or bad-mouthing your boss, or, you know, it's like, you know, every time someone comes up and tries to gossip to me, I'm just like, you know what? If you're talking about that person to me, are you talking about me to somebody else too? And, you know, what's your point and purpose? Because what are you going to accomplish? And it's just, all it does is stir up dissension.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I may sit back and listen a lot of times, but when they start bad-mouthing our boss, that's when I cannot keep my mouth shut. And I will voice what I have to say, whether they want to hear it or not. And sometimes I have a hard time letting go of that. But I feel I'm sticking up for her when she can't, because they won't go to her and say it.
Bosses are in that position and they carry that around. They have to know that there are going to be people that are going to do that. That's the reality.
There's times, gossip in general, there's things that you'll become privy to. that you think I could go to this person and tell them like a situation's going on.
Yeah.
And then you have to weigh, what good will that do? And if it's not going to do any good, then you just have to zip it and keep it to yourself.
Because that's when it becomes gospel.
We've got to be careful of that, even as Christians.
Oh, absolutely.
That, you know, rule, because you even ask a prayer request to go in and tell about something.
Right.
And then a lot of people won't share who you to pray with them because they figure it is both going to God.
I think the important thing is in our clusters and in our prayer group that we all
say, perfect.
No.
What goes here stays here.
That's
so
huge.
We really try to, I don't know, I'm going to speak for you guys and listening to you guys. I really feel like the last time you guys do a really great job of like, I have prayer requests and I don't want to go into details about it, especially when you just pray wrong. And then that's it. And then you just, you know. But I don't know. I feel like you guys are always, I feel like our group.
Yeah.
You share a secret group, but the other people, they do a good job of that. And that's good. That's good for somebody like me, you know, to have it modeled and see it. And now I'm not saying we've always done it perfect. Like you said, we're all guilty, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of. And you can see where it goes to that, too. Like, I got a prayer request, but let me tell you about it first.
But that is huge, you know. I think if someone comes to me and says, I have a prayer request, and they put it out there, and they're asking bunches of people to pray about it, and they're asking, you know, it's out there, then you can say, okay, can I share this with my group or with these people to pray so that they can pray too? You ask that permission. If they say yes, that's cool. But I think if they come to you in confidence and say, I'm really struggling, I just need somebody to pray for me, and will you pray for me? No, you know. You don't need to be saying anything. You just say yes and you pray diligently, and or you can still ask, but you know, if they don't say.
That's actually happened to me a couple times this year, and I was like, wow. You know, because the people, one of them in particularly, I've been praying for a long time, and she just has a situation, and she just came to me back in my little hole in the world and asked me if she asked me if I had a minute, and I said, yeah. Long story short, she asked me to pray for her, and I said, well, how about if we pray right now? And she was like, you know, okay.
Did she really pray?
Yeah.
For real? Like, we're really doing it?
I said, we'll pray now, and I said, well, I'll just pray for you every day. And she's like, okay. It's almost like I, you know, caught her in barbed wire or something.
Her little hole, her little hole in the wall is like, because her area that she has for an office or whatever is like back.
It's a long closet.
It's back underneath the bleacher steps, and so it's like, it's good if you're a short person. Like if I go back to see her, I'm just kind of
Because the walls are
together. Same place, yes. Not together. She's always with little kids, and I'm always with high school.
Yeah, she was
on purpose.
Yeah, I
you know,
started
cause
with
I love
Maureen
her,
first,
but I mean, you know,
and then
together all the time, every day. I don't know.
Yeah. So this is my 22nd year, and this will be his 21st of doing the same kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I was checking the time because you put your coat on.
Oh, no.
Are we running out of time?
You
know, I still have a. I don't know how long you guys want to talk about like servant leadership, because you know when we look at church, because church is another environment that we need to show servant leadership, and there are some differences between, you know, there's of course similarities of just being a Christian that bleed into all of the areas, but there's some specific things with, I think, different environments that we're in, and I think in church environment, you know, I think there are some ways to positively influence and ways to negatively influence, too, that's a little more specific to church.
I believe positively influence.
Well, I can give you an example of being in church. And it was a small church. And I was a missionary treasurer, so I was getting really talented money. And we had a man in the church, and we were going to build a church. He's a businessman and an intelligent person. His parents were wonderful Christians. But now remember, I'm a young Christian. And probably shouldn't have been in that. But down the line, to tell you this story, to tell you the end of it, I've always felt we need to pray for people to count the money in church.
Sure.
You know, this man did not give a penny, but he said where all the money was to go, you know. He was on a team of people that did that. And me, for a new Christian, that really bothered me. Really bad. That he was such a hypocrite. So it when people have jobs like that, we don't realize how much that the devil will use.
Oh, sure.
Someone else.
Yeah, we're not immune to those temptations.
Just much of a hypocrite and acting like they're doing everything right. I don't know why I share that.
No, we've all.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal, yeah.
You know, I was asked to take over the treasury thing for about 6 months or so. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing what you know when you're a treasurer.
Yeah,
basically, in the churches where, you know who's in charge or who's running the program.
Right.
It's sad. Well, it's really, really sad. I mean, I didn't share it with anybody.
No, you can't.
And there was a couple families that they're the ones that was griping the most, and they're the ones that was giving the least, if any.
Well,
and you know, it's like that. And at that time, our pastor gave more money than anybody in the church. And it was this one couple, that married couple, just a nice, quiet people. They were second, you know. And, you know, then you, during that 6 months, I found $1,000 mistake. The guy that did it before me, because they wanted me to take over for him, because he already did it for 6 months, he made $1,000 mistake. $1,000 mistake was that his wife deposited money and he deposited money and had a double entry. Because all the time that I balanced my checks for 6 months, it was coming out perfect. So I had a big meeting. You know, I had to have a big meeting. And you know, it's a shame because I found it and I found out what happened. And I shared that with the board. And you know, there were still people thought that I took $1,000. And I, God forbid, you know. And, but, you know, God knew what was in the street.
Sure.
And I was just taking it temporarily for 6 months because I didn't know. And I found all that. But, you know, it's a shame because you can see a lot of it in church. Well, that's life.
It's just like when we become members of this church. We say that we're going to support it and do what needs to be done. But when you really look around, if you look at the percentage of the people that are willing to work in the kids' department or work in the cafe or do anything that is other than coming in on Sunday and sitting in a pew, I mean, our responsibility as members is to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. And it should be an overflow of people saying,
right,
we should say, no, we don't need you in this job. We have a lot of volunteers. That's
if,
not how it is.
If somehow we could all come here looking to what we're trying to give and not what we're trying to give, we would have an amazing, tremendous, powerful church. That's every church, though.
Every church.
Sometimes people come in with the attitude of looking for what's wrong and not what's right. And if you're looking to pick things apart, you're going to find things wrong. I don't care where, you know.
I think we have to remember that we're a church and we have faith that humans are still humans, regardless of whether they're out of church or out of church, we're humans.
Yep.
And they have to fall on the same
thing. And a lot of people have too many things going on that they can't.
Right.
But, I mean, we're really fortunate. When we have, like, a funeral dinner, we're always inundated with people volunteering the food and stuff like that, and all sorts of stuff. But we have to remember that that's part of being part, that there's a place that we can fill, and we're able to do it, and we need to do that.
What bothers me, you know, is that my health, my physically, I can't do the things I was doing a year or two ago.
I know.
I was helping Tom outside all the time doing things.
You don't have to be sorry. You're welcome here anytime.
I just can't.
There you go.
Not to be able to physically do anything.
Oh, you said no to him?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're not welcome here all the time, anytime then. Tell me when your mom don't tell you no. Yeah. I think there's a lot of things we can really look at. I think one of the things that's a positive is when we reach out, it's really easy to be drawn to the people that we like and people that we enjoy being around. Mm-hmm. And that's how, you know, churches become cliquey and stuff, because... Mm-hmm. It's very easy to just, you know, especially if you're a person that likes, like, a big group of people. By the time you connect with all of those people every week, there's people that came in that you thought when they came in maybe you'd want to connect or say something, and they're gone. Mm-hmm. Because we really busy ourselves, you know, at the end of the service, I see everybody all walking around and talking and everything, and that's awesome. But I think sometimes we have to make an effort to connect with people that we don't always connect with when we come in on.
And again, and I will say this, I think this is why, this is just, this is another reason why, get involved in small groups. Because
absolutely.
You create these relationships. And we wouldn't have our friendship had we not been, years we've been going to this, you know what I mean? You know, just things like that. Like, there are so many different people that have come in and out of this cluster, the cluster before that, and the cluster.
Right.
I've been in three now since we've been here, at the Vineyard. And I know so many different people on a deeper level because of that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And good level.
I love our small group, and I would do anything for anyone in it, and I know they would do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could go tell them a deepest, darkest secret, or I could go tell them my biggest struggle, and they would just take it in stride and love me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the reality.
That's what
we all should be.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
You know, it's hard to do that on Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Oh.
But when you have those groups where you can, I mean, I feel closer just to all of you guys that come here now. This year,
right.
You're coming in here and sharing and hanging out and studying and stuff. And
it's funny because I got your card.
Right.
And the first thing I did, because you had talked about it last week, I looked to see if Valentina, if you had sent it to me.
Yeah.
It was important that they knew
right.
and saw your blog.
Yeah.
And
I had you guys look
yes.
in it.
With,
okay.
with the purse?
I
yes.
In, yeah. And then, Ellie? I think his name was Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just encouraged every week she comes, like, keep coming, little girl. Keep coming. Not little girl, but, you know, teenager.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, grab a hold of all of this now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't want her to feel welcome, and I want her to feel like she's heard, and I want her to feel like we're trying to speak to her as well as our different generation, right?
And Laura, too, because Laura's so quiet.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, she's consistent. She's always here, and she did years, you know. I mean, even when Anthony was doing our smoke, she was always there. She didn't talk much, but yeah.
She
so,
told me, I said, you know, I asked her one time.
Laura.
I said, you know, you're awful quiet in there. She goes, you know what? She goes, I'm not a big talker. She goes, but I love hearing what everybody else has to say. So. Yeah, we're out of time again. It's like 10 to.
Can I have to ask for a prayer request? And I'm like, I'm driving here this morning. He was at a sleepover last night. That's why he's sleeping. He did not sleep. It's hard to get him into the car. And so I just had to keep reminding myself, Philippians 4, worry about nothing, pray about everything. I'm like, God, you told me I don't have to worry about this. So I'm like, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to pray over it, and I'm going to ask other people to pray over it with me. But when the minute I heard it, I was like, oh, I'm going to throw up. So the mom told me when I picked him up, she was, oh my gosh, they stay up so late, blah, blah, blah. She's like, they're playing all kinds of games, like, before sick as a whatever, and then we divorced. I was like, son of a flipping god. Like, I didn't even think for a second. He
did
she? Yeah, I know. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm wrestling with people judging me because, and then I'm like, no, because here's the thing. I have never told him not to. He did not know.
Would
I did not
know
what to tell him. It was his basketball team all got together.
And would never think, especially.
Right.
But I'm like, he would do that. I wanted to throw up when it came out of her mouth. I'm thinking to myself, you did not let a bunch of 9-year-old boys play in the Ouija board. I'm like, okay, I'm just praying. I'm just praying all the way over. God, untie any binds that have been bound to him or anything in his heart, his mind, anything. Unbind them
for
right
any
now.
Of those
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just pray for you. I'm like, Philippians 4. I don't have to worry. I can just pray.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't ever play the Ouija board ever. When you're sleepover and the little girls want to play it, don't you say my mommy and daddy say I'm not allowed.
Yeah.
Okay. And I didn't ever think it's okay to not play.
Well,
it's okay to just
because you know at what point you're thinking well, who's going to let 9-year olds do that? You know, usually you think like at least
teenagers,
but
right.
I'll just be honest. When I was like when I was a teenager, it wasn't like raising faith. I went out and bought one, and I brought it home. And my mom was not a Christian, but I brought it home, and she looked at me, and she goes, "You get that out of my house now." And I didn't believe in it. I didn't understand it. I thought it was just this thing. But she was like, "You get that out of my house." She threw it away.
Yeah.
I was so mad.
Yeah.
And she's like, "You don't even understand. Get it out of my house."
Right.
Like I didn't think she was. I didn't know what
she
was doing.
She knew,
and she was like, "Mm-mm." She probably thought everything was bad enough to get me. More.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Ooh, I thought she was going to beat me with it. So, yeah.
All right. Let's have a prayer.
Yeah.
Lord, we just come to you. We thank you and praise you. You are a wonderful God. Lord, right now we not only lift up that whole group of boys, Lord, all of the kids that were a part of that Rachel just shared with us, we lift all of them up to you. But Lord, there's so much of that going on, so much of that that's just accepted, and it's just like this, everyone sees it as a fun little thing, and Satan is so sly. And there's so many ways that he just tries to get in there, and he goes younger and younger and younger with our kids all the time, Lord, trying to just instill all of those things. And Lord, there's so much of a spiritual battle that goes on every single day around all of us that we don't always see and we don't always realize. And sometimes we just accept things as it's not that big of a deal when it's a huge deal. And so, Lord, most of all, we thank you that you have angels around us, that you care about us, that you protect us and watch over us. And we pray, Lord, that you will do that with Luca, that you will do that with all of those boys, Lord. And most of all, that you will somehow get through to those parents that say, that's okay. It breaks our heart, Lord. Just to know that we have to be so concerned and so worried about our kids when they're out there. And it makes us want to just wrap them up in our arms and keep them home and keep them safe where we can see them every moment of the day. But we have to let them grow up. And we have to let them develop that faith of their own. So, Lord, we just lift it up to you. And we pray with all of our heart, Lord, that you would just bind any of the darkness, any of the evil spirits, anything, Lord, that was a part of that whole session, that whole thing that went on. And we just pray, Lord, that you will help each one of those kids, Lord, to have a personal encounter with you, to know without a doubt, Lord, that you're the answer to all the things in their lives that they're looking for, that they don't need to ever turn to anything else but you. We just thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we offer this class up to you, we offer this church up to you, and we just ask all of this in Jesus' name.